Well, hello everybody out there. Welcome back again. I'm looking out right now, a very rainy window at a very rainy day. So if you hear a little pitter-patter in the background, that's just the rain hitting up against the window that I'm looking at right now. But this week we're going to look for a third week at stanza number two of our vision prayer. And the whole stanza dealing with the community and what it means to be the community of faith. And I think that God has a good word for us today as we listen in. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll read that stanza again and then just get into it. So Jesus, thank you for this gift of modern communication that somehow allows us to try this new form of teaching, this new form of spreading of thought amongst your people. And we just pray, Lord, for the work of your Spirit again today. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be soft to what you're communicating us through your word, and we just bless you today, Jesus, and we anticipate your fruit being born in our lives as we not just hear the word, but as we live it out. So bless us in this time, Jesus. Amen. So the vision prayer again. Our vision is Jesus. We want to be a movement of friends that live as he lives and acts as he acts and give as he gives. We want to be different, spend different, live different. We want to be righteous and pure, holy and good. We want to be free and alive, brimming with passion. We want joy to be our experience, life to be our cry, and unity to be our hallmark. We want to be the kingdom here and now. We want to be like him, just like him, so much like him. Different. That's the word I want to pick up on today in this. I think it's interesting that the Spirit spoke to us about this. It's interesting that we're called to be a people that live different. For those that have been around before, or around me before, I've commented on this many other times that an observation that I've made about the Christian church, at least in the West, is in regards to how much it seems that in recent years, we've sought not to be different from the world, but to, in many regards, be as much like the world as we possibly can. And I actually think that this pursuit comes from a really good place. It comes from a desire to be relevant, to make sense to the world around us, to not come off as oddballs or as morons or as idiots, but as normal people. But this is where it breaks down. Normal people who also happen to have a faith in an unseen God. And normal people who apparently believe that when he appeared, he did so as a Jewish carpenter via the birth of a virgin. With normal people who believe and follow this man who lived and walked for 30 years, ministered for three of those, eventually died on a cross, and then was resurrected from the dead. And we want to be normal people who also just happen to believe that one day we'll also be resurrected from the dead and we'll be given new bodies. In other words, we just want to be normal people who have somehow decided to believe in what is, at least for our world's mind, advanced minds, very abnormal thing. See, I have a little secret to tell us all. Try as we might, we can't get away from it. At our very core, we are not normal. We are very different. What we think and what we believe is very different. But beyond that, I think personally that Scripture also teaches us that how we're to live and how we're to act is also to be different. You see, for all the effort that we've made trying to be like or trying to be relevant, the simple fact is that Scripture spends way more time trying to remind us that in every way we are different. We think different, we believe different, we act different, we live different. And not strange or odd just for the sake of being odd, but different. A people that live different, a people that spend different, a people that really desire to be good and pure and holy, a people that have staked their whole lives on being the apprentices of a master who himself walked a very different road. When you read the life of Jesus, you discover that at every corner, he was different. He lived a different way. Now, such a statement about how we're supposed to live can sound pretty black and white. And from it, one could imply that I'm suggesting that no one else in the whole world, apart from Christians, is concerned about how they spend or live or are concerned about being good or even holy. And of course, that's not true. Every day we encounter people in the world who are genuinely excellent people, who, whether they know it or not, are living lives that also emulate Jesus in some regards, are living lives that emulate Jesus a lot more than his followers are living lives that emulate Jesus. The fact is, though, is that our world is filled with all sorts of really wonderful people. But my point, though, is that if there were ever to be a group of people who as a whole were to model this life, who as a citizenry were to model this life, a whole community that were to live a different kind of life, surely the followers of Christ should be the ones that are marked by that life. We are the ones that should be, as a whole community, are different. We're called to be different. We're called to be what I sometimes call, we're called to be an alternative society. Last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2 briefly, and I want to go there again. Here in verse 9, Peter is talking about this new chosen people that have been drawn together, and he refers to them as a holy nation, a people belonging to God, a people that have been called out of the darkness into the light. And then in verse 11, he makes this really interesting statement. Listen to what he says, chapter 2, verse 11 of 1 Peter. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So right away you get the idea, right? First he calls us aliens and strangers. The Greek word here literally means a people that don't have a citizenship in the land in which they belong. A people, in other words, that don't belong. A people that are clearly on the outside. We're the ones that are to no longer have a citizenship in the world. We're the outsiders. Now, this obviously already implies some degree of difference, right? That we're different from the norm. We're the aliens in here, and our home is now in God. But then Peter, I think, takes it a step further. He says, I urge you as people, then, that don't belong, to abstain from the sinful desires, but on the positive side, then, to be the kind of people that are living such good lives in the world that the world might see you and praise God. In other words, as people on the outside, I want you to live differently from the people on the inside. Here it is. We've been called out to form an alien society, a citizenship in God, that then lives different lives, good and pleasing lives within the world. And via this, as Peter goes on to say, our world will see God and join in on the praises through this. So this holy nation, this people united with God, we are to be different. We're to live different. We're to live lives that are good and righteous. And I think the core, ultimately, of these good and pleasing and different lives is love. More than anything else, what is to define us as different is simply that we are a people who have an incredible love for each other and for our world. We're different because we've learned that the most important thing is that we love. It's a love that causes us to be different, a love that causes us to act different with each other, a love that spills over into lavish generosity and hospitality and kindness and goodness to each other and in our world, a love that looks and acts like Jesus did with those that are around him. Now consider Romans 12, a chapter that many of you, if you've been believers for a while, will know quite well. Here Paul is talking about the body and how the body is to live and to act with each other. He talks about gifts and how the Spirit blesses each person with a certain charismatic outpouring. And then right in the middle of this context, right in the middle of talking about the body and how the body functions, he says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. He says, love, then, must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge. See, our key defining quality, what really makes us appear different in the world, is that we love. Paul's writing to the body here, and in the midst of it, he goes on to give this great statement about love. We love each other. We're sincere, we're devoted to one another, we're honoring to one another, we're joyful and patient and faithful with each other. We live in harmony, we rejoice with those who rejoice, we mourn with those who mourn, we're not proud or conceited, we're blessing people, we're at peace with each other, we've resolved our conflicts. See, we've been called out to form an alien society that lives different lives within this world. And the core of all this is that we have learned what it is to love. And I don't think, really, this shouldn't come as a big surprise to any of us, right? When Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing, Master? Sum it all up. Give us the goods. He said, love. Love God, first of all, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor in the same way. So if we're going to be a community of followers that are learning his ropes, if we're going to be his apprentices, it makes sense that we'd be defined by our love. That is what makes us so different. You know, the most significant passage on the entire scripture on love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? We've heard it many, many times. Even if you're just a new follower, you're just listening and you're not a follower, right? You've been to a wedding and you've heard 1 Corinthians 13, right? Do you ever notice the context with which it appears? Paul's writing to help correct the body on how to live. And he says, but now I'll show you the most excellent way, 13:1. And he finishes his love statement with this. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Point here, believers, and they were off the rails, believers, the most important thing, the greatest thing, is love. We're aliens. We're different, and the core of this is that we are learning what it is to love. And you know, but the fuel behind all of this is that we're the people of the Spirit. We're learning to live behind God's empowering presence. And this Spirit desires to make alive in us the very character of Christ, the character which obviously is most radically defined by his radical love toward others, even the least of these. And so I want you to hear this. My encouragement to you then is, don't be respond to this by first just going out and giving the old college try and trying to work a little bit harder at maybe loving some people this week. No. First, welcome again the presence of God. Welcome his Spirit. Yield to him. This Ephesians 5 instructions, again, in the context of relationships in the church. Be filled, Paul says. Don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled. And the idea here is an ongoing, overflowing, daily thing. Be filled with the Spirit. Then, as you are filled with the Spirit, again and again, listen. Follow his lead. He'll show you. And he'll show your churches what it means to live a different kind of life. He will do this, and I believe he'll do this in two manners. First, he will convict you personally, and he'll convict your church, and this isn't any order, by the way, but he'll convict you personally, and he'll convict your church of the ways that you're failing to live a life that's marked by love. And then secondly, he'll prompt you. As you listen to him, as you read his word, he'll prompt you of the actual ways that you're to go about living and loving in this world. Listen to his voice. Be different. Love through the empowerment of God's presence, the Spirit. This past week, the landscape of the Christian faith was dramatically rocked. In the States, a key Christian leader who was the president of a 30 million member organization was exposed as in his own words, a liar and a deceiver. While leading an organization that was openly opposed to homosexual relationships, it seems that he was engaging the services of a gay prostitute. And this past week, I read his letter of confession. It was a beautiful letter. I accept it wholeheartedly. And I pray for the love of the Father to just be lavished upon this man, who is clearly a troubled soul. And I pray for the same for his family and for his children. But I tell you this to say that I believe that the Christian landscape has taken to this a very devastating blow. Quite frankly, the world is absolutely through with our voice and with our rhetoric. They cannot stand. I was on a number of different websites this year where people were, or this week, where people were writing in their thoughts about it, and it's so overwhelmingly clear. They cannot stand what they perceive as our hypocrisy, and nor should they. Friends, this past weekend, without any control of your own, your testimony and our testimony as believers in this world took an almost, I say almost, but almost fatal blow. And I don't believe I'm overstating. I felt like this past week it was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. But I tell you this because I believe this to be true. The one thing we do have left to stand on is how we live and how we love first each other and then the world around us. This is our voice. This is our prophetic voice to the world. The one thing that we do have left, if we've lost our voice, if it's true, and I believe that it is, the one thing that we do have left is that our Master says, who's actually, in reality, you know what? I think it's the only thing we've always ever had. But the one thing that our Master says to us is that I've called you, children, to be aliens. I've called you to be different. And the heart of this is love. So give yourself to this. Enough of the rhetoric. Enough of the standing on the street corners. Enough of the grandstanding. Enough of trying to use your political clout or whatever. Love. Be different in love. Listen to what 1 Peter 2:11 says again. I've lost my page here. Here it is. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. See, God's plan has always been this, to build his kingdom. And the center of this has been calling out of a people who are to live different lives, lives marked with radical love. And in this act, slowly, subversively, the kingdom will expand like yeast in a batch of dough. And with this, the glory of God will slowly be made known on earth as it is in heaven. Live such good lives that they may see your good deeds. Simple churches, you at the center of the kingdom, welcome the Spirit. And live different lives together and in the world. Love. I just urge you, love. Learn what it is to love. Welcome the Spirit that will enable you to love. Love is a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Radically love. Be that Acts 2 community. Set your heart on that is generous, that is sincere, that is sharing things in common, that is giving as everyone has a need. And as you do, the world may, our world around us may, Lord willing, the world around us may see our good deeds and give praise to God on the day he visits us. Bless you, little churches, in your radical movement.